So the question is, what is the importance of doing chesed, and how does the importance of doing chesed fit into the frame of perfection in terms of yadas? Yeah. So the Ram in the end of the Gemara, discusses this idea. First he defines what's the difference between chesed, mishpar, and tzedakah. Okay, chesed, mishpar, and tzedakah. So chesed, he says, is one of two things. He says that chesed means when you show kindness to a person that has no claim whatsoever for that kindness. Okay, that's why, for instance, he says that when God bestows kindness on us, so it's called chesed, because we have no claim to it. Because you can't have a claim against God. So therefore, whatever you receive from God is pure chesed. And then he says chesed could also mean if a person has a claim, if you go beyond that claim, that would also be considered chesed. Okay? He says, That's it. So there are two forms. In other words, sometimes chesed is a qualitative phenomenon. It means that there's no place for it to begin with, but you do it anyways. And in another case, there's a claim, but the quantity is in excess of what the person deserves. Okay, that's what says chesed. And that's tzedakah, he says, that's not what, tzedakah is something else. Tzedakah is righteousness. He says tzedakah is like this. He says tzedakah is the act of giving everyone his due, or showing kindness to every being according to the way that being deserves the kindness. Okay, so he says like this. This is the Ram in the end of the Mora, chapter 53. Okay, now he says like this. He says we perform an act of tzedakah when we fulfill those duties towards our fellow men which our moral conscience imposes upon us. That is, for example, when we heal the wound of the sufferer. Okay? He says, thus Scripture says, in reference to the returning of the pledge to the poor, in other words, when you give the person back what they need, and a loan, you give it back to the poor person their object to use, v'lochot yet tzedakah. When we walk in the way of virtue, we act righteously towards... He says, we act righteously towards our intellectual faculty and pay it what it is due. And because every virtue is thus tzedakah, Scripture applies the term to the virtue of faith in God. And he believed in God, and v'yachshevel lo tzedakah. Okay. That's basically all the Rambam says on tzedakah. Then he has mishpat. Mishpat, he says, mishpat is something else. Mishpat is deciding upon a certain action in accordance with justice. Either the decision will be either mercy or punishment. He says that's mishpat. So then he summarizes. He says chesed means pure charity. Tzedakah is kindness prompted by a certain moral conscience in man, and being a means of attaining perfection for a soul. And mishpat may in some cases find expression in revenge and others in mercy. Okay. So, excuse me? Yeah. Okay, all right. That's the definition of three. Now, the three are important because the Rambam really says that the Rambam in the end, in the very end of the Mara, the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that the pasuk, the famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Komar Shema, Yisrael Chochem B'Chochmaso, Yisrael Giba B'Gvaroso, Yisrael Osher B'Oshro, Ki Im B'Zos Yisrael El HaMesalel, Haskel V'Yadoa Osi, means knowledge of God, Ki Ani Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpat Utsdaka B'Oretz, Ki Ve'Elo Chafatz Dinam Hashem. So the pasuk says that God does all three. Okay, does all three. Now, the Rambam, in explaining that, at the end of the Mori, says like this. Nice, Elias. The Rambam says that when Yirmiyahu says, that Al Yisal Chacham Mebechachmaso, that means that there's no reason for man to have any kind of arrogance, whether it's his knowledge or his strength or his wealth. He says, but there's only one thing that a person can be proud of himself with. And what is that? Haskel v'yadoasi. That means the knowledge of God. But the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, the prophet does not content himself with explaining that the knowledge of God is the highest kind of perfection. He says, why? For if this only had been his intention, he would have said, but in this let him who glorieth glory, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Haskel v'yadoasi. Wouldn't be necessary to go any further. And he would have stopped there. Or he would have said that he understands and knows me that I am one. Or that I have not any likeness. Or that there is none like me. Or a similar phrase. Meaning the true knowledge of God, which is the Achdus Hashem, which is the knowledge that God is not physical. Okay, he would have said something like that. He says, however, he doesn't say that. He says, however, that man can only glory in the knowledge of God and in the knowledge of his ways and attributes, which are his actions, as we have shown when we expounded on the pasuk, show me, hadenos rechacha, okay, show me your ways. We are thus told in this passage that the divine acts which ought to be known and ought to serve as a guide for our actions are chesed, loving kindness, mishpat, judgment, and tzedakah, righteousness. Alright? That's basically what the Rambam says. In other words, so the Rambam says, okay, so then the Rambam says that why it says ba'aretz means to show that God's hashgacha extends to this earth. Okay. So, then he comes back, so like this. This is expressed in the words that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. The prophet thus, in conclusion, says, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That means my object in saying this is that you should practice loving kindness, chesed, mishpat, judgment, and tzedakah, righteousness in the earth. In a similar manner, we have shown that the object of the enumeration of God's 13 attributes is the lesson that we should acquire similar attributes and act accordingly. The object of the above passage is therefore to declare that the perfection in which man can truly glory is attained by him when he has acquired, as far as this is possible for man, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his providence, and of the manner in which it influences his creatures in their production and continued existence. Having acquired this knowledge, he will then be determined always to seek loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, and thus to imitate the ways of God. We have explained this many times in this treatise. That's basically that's the Rambam. That's the last chapter in the Rambam. So basically the Rambam says, and I skipped a lot of Rambams there, but the Rambam before explains that this is really the goal of Kol HaTorah Kula. So it means to say, he explains that if you don't attain that goal, I mean, then really everything you do is basically without a purpose, because that's really the goal of the whole Torah. So you see that Chesed in Yahadis apply, I mean, chesed occupies a prominent role, not simply a side activity. But if a person has no time for chesed, I mean, basically it means he has no time for the whole purpose of the kol dargo. That's what it means. And that's what the Rambam says. And it's not the Rambam, it's the Navi. It's a pasuk in the Navi. Not only in the Navi, but it really is the whole thing with the Hodieni Nostrachecha, with the Yedim Omidos. So it means to say that in Yehadus, why Yediyas Hashem is really, what does the Rambam say? Yediyas Hashem is really everything. It's the Rambam says that in Hilchos Mezuzah. So the Rambam says that Ein Omei LaOlam LaOlam Olamim Ela Yediyas Sur Olam Bovai. That's the only thing that really has any true value. Everything we do in our lives basically are relative type of things which have importance in the eyes of people, and we get involved in these things and we're distracted from reality. But in truth, these things are meaningless and have a very, very little value. The only thing that really matters is knowledge of God. And that's what the Navi really says. The Navi says that Kim Bezos Yishalom Eshalom Haskel V'Yadolosi. That knowledge of God is really the only thing that man, that has any intrinsic value for man. Just that. Everything else that man is engaged in, all his strivings, whatever he's trying to accomplish, are really worthless. I mean, they're activities which may be necessary for his temporary existence, but in a short time, I mean, they're gone. I mean, and they don't have any real value. The only thing that has real value that a person can feel that he accomplished or that he did something of value, he partook of reality, is insofar as his knowledge of God. So that is something which we can't perhaps understand. But you see, the Navi, the Rambam is pointing out that the Navi isn't satisfied with that, because he says, "Were that really the only thing?" So the Navi would have stopped right after that. He would have said, "So that means that that is really the only thing, like the Rambam says. That's the only true value, and that's why, for instance, the Rambam says in his Maimar Tchias HaMeisim. So the Rambam mentions that he knew someone who was a gadol in Chochmas HaTorah. And he says, Chai Hashem, this person was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. But he says, but he was in doubt as to whether God is physical or not. And the Rambam says that, in his opinion, somebody like that is on a lower level than an animal. So, to me, an animal, yeah. Because everything, Kol HaTorah Kula, is Yediyas Hashem. So even if a person knows halacha, knows the ways of halacha, the Rambam says, but his Yediyas Hashem is nil, so he considers him even lower than the lower form of Baal Chai, or lower than animal. So the essence of Kol HaTorah Kula is Yediyas Hashem. The halacha, everything that we have in halacha and in mitzvos is really an expression of Yediyas Hashem, an expression of Yediyas Hashem. But if the halacha doesn't lead to that conclusion, if learning halacha does not eventuate in enhancing one's Yediyas Hashem, and once Yediyas Hashem is in his mind, I mean, is broken off from his knowledge in halacha, so the Rambam says basically his existence is worthless. It's an interesting thing. And the Rambam whenever he every sefer that he began in the beginning, in the introduction, the very first phrase in the sefer was B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, based on the pasuk in this week's edge, right? Yeah. Vayita Eshua Vershava, Vayikrashom B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. Every sefer the Rambam wrote, he began with that phrase, B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. In our Rambams, we don't have it. They took it out for some reason. But every sefer that he wrote, and even his letters, It begins with B'Shem Hashem Kelohim. Why? Because that's what the Rambam was saying, that everything that we learn, every halacha, whether it's halacha in Shor Shanar HaSapara, or whether it's halacha in Beis HaBechira, or whether it's halacha in Avas Hashem, everything ultimately has that purpose. The purpose that Avraham Avinu really was engaged in, was the first one to be engaged in, and that is Yedias Hashem, Vayikrashem Hashem Hashem Keloah. But the Rambam holds that if it does not eventuate, if it doesn't enhance a person's Yedias Hashem, it's actually worthless. It's worthless. I mentioned to Marshall that I had to look back in the safe that he got me, the original manuscript to find it, but it's not there. It's not in the. It's not in an hour. I don't know why. They took it out of the other thing. The Sefer Mitzvahs also took it out. But every Rambam always began with the Shem Hashem Kelo. But that's the Rambam. That's what I'm saying. But basically, I mean, it's not the Rambam. It's the Navi. Akim Bezos Yisrael Masal Haskel V'yadoa Osi. So the question, of course, is why can't you stop there? But the Rambam makes a point in saying that if you stop there, then again, you haven't really fulfilled your goal. So apparently there's something more. Something further than just Haskel V'yadoasi. And what is that? That's Kinei Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpot Tzlocha Baretz. Which means to say, if it doesn't eventuate in that, so then even though the person has Yedias Hashem, so he's lacking. Yeah. The question is, that's the question really. The question is, why is that? Since Yedias Hashem in Yahadus is everything. I mean, Yahadus is the only religion that made ignorance into sin and chokhmah into virtue. And it's the only religion like that. Other religions have different types of principles. But our principle is one thing. Principle is that if a person has Yedias Hashem, insofar as he has knowledge of God, he's good. Insofar as he's ignorant, he's evil. And ignorance and good, that's the whole Isra Avodah Zarah is based on that. Because the Isra Avodah Zarah is, what was wrong with the Eagle? They said, Eilo Lahach Yisrael, Shatzah Sikhum Erat Yisrael, very religious activity. But it lacks in Yedias Hashem, and therefore it's evil. So the question is, if that's the case, so it would seem that once you have Haskel V'yadoa Osi, like the Rambam says, he says the Navi didn't say that he who knows that Hashem Echad is fortunate, can be proud of himself. He doesn't say that. He says the one that can be proud of himself is Haskel V'yadoa Osi, but it continues, Kini Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpat Zdokavah Boretz. Kibelo Chafatz. So why? The question is why. That's the question. Why is that necessary? Why is that such a necessary ingredient? Such a necessary ingredient. Okay, yes. And Levi's asking good, because the Rambam himself says in the Mora, he says there are four perfections. And he says the four perfections are, he says the first perfection, the lowest perfection is what? Is the perfection of one's estate, monetary, financial. He says the next perfection, which is closer to man, is the physical, is health. And then even closer to man is what you might call the psychological, the midos. That's even closer. He says the highest perfection, he says, is the intellect, the perfection of man's intellect, because that's the highest element in man. So when that element is perfected, that is the highest perfection. So the lady's right. So you see from that, it would seem, on the contrary, that what is, that midos is really just a vehicle. Because midos, he says, are psychological perfections in order to, that a person should be well balanced. Because you can't function if your mind is not balanced properly. So midos is where the person isn't overly in any direction. That's the Rambam says. That remains till today, basically. With all the advances in psychology, that really remains the touchstone of normalcy, is the excesses. Excesses indicate the abnormal. The person is balanced, the shvilah zov, so then that's an indication of normalcy. So that's the mitos. But the mitos are only a vehicle, but the ultimate is really the perfection of the greatest thing that man has, which is not his body, it's not his acquisitions, it's not his psyche even. It's basically his intellect. That's the greatest thing that he has. So when that's perfected, that has to be the greatest thing in man. You can't argue that away. I mean, it's just a logical conclusion that the perfection in the thing is always that which is most important. I mean, if you have a car, the perfection of the tires is not an indication of perfection of the car, perfection of the engine. I mean, so in everything, the thing which is most important, when that thing is perfected, that is the most important element of the thing, and the same thing has to be true of man. It's a logical impossibility to say otherwise. So Levi's right. So if that's the case, so once the intellect is perfected, it would seem you don't need more. So the Navi really should have stopped over there. He should have said, excuse me? Yeah. Go ahead. You just say, where is it? No, you want what chapter?
What's that?
28. Book 3. I'll
have to figure it out. Number. 27. Book 3. When he talks about the two perfections, here he says specifically.
And so the second perfection, he means. Is that what he mentions, the
four perfections? No. This is where he talks about the purpose of the Torah, is the moral, and then there's the intellectual. And the moral is a means to be. In the whole chapter, he says the moral is a means to the intellectual. And it's the second perfection of man consistent is becoming an actually intelligent being, i.e. he knows about the things in existence all that a person perfectly developed is capable of knowing. This second perfection certainly does not include any action or good conduct, but only knowledge which is arrived at by speculation or established by research. So there's a specifically, it does not include any action or good conduct, but only knowledge which is arrived at by speculation or established by research.
Only knowledge.
He said, yeah.
So he says, in other words, that the perfection,
which is the ultimate perfection of the Torah, the intellectual, is only, and mentioned, does not include any action or good conduct.
And does not include any action or good conduct.
Take a look at page 313. I think we have the same copy.
That's correct. That's where he has the four perfections. Yeah, where's that chapter, the four perfections? Is that right? Okay. It's chapter 27, correct? Chapter 27, the Rambam, in the third chelik, the Rambam says the second perfection of man consistent is becoming an actually intelligent being. Yeah, i.e., that is, he knows about the things in existence. All that a person perfectly developed is capable of knowing. This second perfection certainly does not include any action or good conduct, but only knowledge, which is arrived at by speculation or established by research. It's an interesting thing. Yep, you're right. He says clearly. It is clear that the second and superior kind of perfection can only be attained when the first perfection has been acquired. For a person that is suffering from great hunger, thirst, heat, or all, cannot grasp an idea, even if communicated by others, much less can he arrive at it by his own reasoning. So he's saying the other things are means and vehicles. Okay, so really he's in contradiction. There's no contradiction. Over here he says it's not conduct, he says it's only knowledge, and over here he says that the Navi, if the Navi thought that way, he would have stopped by Haskel v'yadoh ha'osir. But he didn't. He says, Kani Hashem osir chesed mishpat zakabaratz. Okay. You have to trust me on this. But there is another Rambam, which says, it's a kusv ha'shlishi, that I think explains explains away the contradiction. Yeah. The answer is like this. The answer is, there's another Rambam. I have to find it. I don't want to take time to search right now. But the Rambam states that in acquiring knowledge, in acquiring metaphysical knowledge, so the Rambam says that it doesn't matter. It does not matter, no matter how intelligent the person is, he says that if the person cannot take all his energies away from his own personal strivings, you see, and his strivings towards to the personal, that which he's interested in on a personal level, if he cannot remove his himself from his personal desires, and he cannot attach his energy completely to the task, no matter how intelligent he is, he says he'll never arrive at sound ideas in metaphysics. That's the Rambam. The Rambam says it. That's Rambam. She's Rambam. I don't know. It's in the Mora. I just can't find it right now. But the Rambam states clearly that I believe it's in the Mora, that no matter how much a person, no matter how intelligent the person is, if the person is not capable of removing his energies from the personal, his personal desires, his personal gains, and completely devoting the energy towards Yedias Hashem, he says, then he will never be able to attain. He will never be able to attain metaphysical knowledge. I'm sorry. You see, in the Shitas of Rambam, which is really the Rambam, of course, is expressing the Shitas Yahadis, is that to know something, the important thing in knowing something is the grasp of the thing that a person knows, the type of, the nature of the apprehension, the way the person apprehends it. In other words, the soul is something more than something upon which is imprinted intellectual content, you see? The content itself is not all there is to the soul. In other words, when a person grasps an idea, you see, if a person grasps an idea, that would be a difference between a person grasping an idea in mathematics, you see, or even in Chachmas HaTalmud, or a person grasping an idea in the realm of metaphysics. In the realm of mathematics, where a person grasps an idea, it's the content of the idea that is the substance, you see. But in grasping a metaphysical idea, you're encountering a different kind of a situation. In a metaphysical idea, it is an idea which moves the soul. You see, it's an idea which moves the soul. It's not simply the content, but it's something which takes over the soul and moves it forms it in a certain way. And gives it a certain kind of an attitude, you see. In other words, metaphysical knowledge is different than other knowledge. Another knowledge is just ideational content. That's it. In metaphysical knowledge, it's a movement of the soul towards that which is real and true. And that's why it's a movement towards God. Because God is the ultimate, Hashem Elokim Emes. God is the only thing that is truly real. So in metaphysical knowledge, Yahadus maintains, as much as Yahadus respects knowledge, you see, it respects knowledge in a different way. It has a different idea of knowledge than the world's idea of knowledge. The world's idea of knowledge is simply, if you give the person a test, will the person be able to answer you the questions? And knowledge is something that's quantifiable. In other words, if you know the math, so that means if you know the math book, you started the math book. So if I give you a test on the math book and you can answer all the questions, so then you're a mathematician, you have knowledge of mathematics. That is fine when it comes to the discipline of mathematics. But when it comes to metaphysics is a different kind of a thing. That's why the Rambam says that a person who is not perfected can never really gain, no matter how intelligent they are, they can't gain true metaphysical knowledge, because in metaphysics you're dealing with the movement and the desire of the soul for reality. The moment the soul is imperfection, it means it's channeled away from reality, and it simply cannot channel itself in the proper direction, no matter how intelligent the person is. That's why the Rambam says that a person that has no Yedias Hashem whatsoever, so no matter how much he may know halacha, that's intellectual content. But in terms of the movement of the soul, basically, it has gone nowhere. And the purpose of Kol HaTorah Kula is really to change the soul of man. To give the soul of man, to bring the soul of man from the state of, as the Rambam says, from the state of potentiality to actuality. It means to actualize the potential of the soul to perceive that which is real and that which is true. And that is something which is more than just ideational content, you see. But it's more so on two levels. If a person lacks in perfection, his mind can't be channeled towards the truth and reality because he turns away from it. He doesn't want to know it. Okay, so the energy can't be directed, channeled in that area. That's one thing. But then there's something more also, something else besides it. And that is that even if the person can channel the energy in that area, if the grasp of the idea, you see, is not with all the energies of the individual, so then that idea, that very idea, is not really, cannot be considered fully apprehended by the soul. In other words, in the apprehension of the soul, a person is going beyond simply the intellectual content. But the soul embraces the idea and has a relationship with the idea that actually changes the attitude of the soul towards reality. It's a completely Yediyas Hashem. That's what the Navi really saying. That Yediyas Hashem is a different kind of a thing. Yediyas Hashem is not something that can simply be quantified in terms of factual knowledge content. You see, it really is a movement of the soul towards the good, towards the ultimate good, and that which is then the ultimately real. So that's why the Navi says that Haskel v'yadoa osi is not enough, because Haskel v'yadoa osi would mean simply intellectual acquisition, intellectual apprehension. But the truth of the matter is that the perfection of man is where the soul's concern is reality and only reality, and in that way all the energies of the soul are directed towards the good, channeled towards the good, and the apprehension is a different kind of an apprehension of the idea. The idea is apprehended in a superior way, different way, you see. So that's what the Rambam is explaining. What the Rambam is explaining is that what the Navi is saying is, and that's the same thing, Hodieni Noas Derochecha, it means that when a person truly apprehends the idea, the Yediyas Hashem, Ki Ani Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpat Utzdaka Baretz, that through that apprehension and through that knowledge, his soul is raised to a different kind of a level where he naturally wants to do chesed mishpat. He naturally desires to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do chesed mishpat and tzedakah. That's basically what the Rambam is saying. And if it doesn't result in that, then the intellectual apprehension is lacking. You understand what I'm saying? The apprehension of the soul is lacking if this phenomena is not there. That's basically what the Rambam is saying. That's what the Rambam is saying, and that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying. That Haskel v'yadoa osi, it's a different kind of Haskel. It's a different kind of Haskel v'yadoa. It's not like a Haskel v'yadoa in mathematics. It's a Haskel v'yadoa that engages the entire soul. And if it engages the entire soul, then it results in the individual recognizing the Derech Hashem, the ways of God, and partaking of God's will, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying? So that's a certain state of mind. Where nothing really is important outside of the realm of God's will, which is the ultimate reality of how the universe is run, and how on this earth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how his ways with regard to human beings on this earth as well. So if a person does not really have that, if it doesn't eventuate in that state of mind, then the Haskel v'yadoa osi is not the same. That's why there's no contradiction between the two Rambams. Because the Rambam maintains that the highest perfection is Yediyah. But the nature of the idea, you see, is based upon how the soul apprehends it. And whether it apprehends it properly or not, you see, can be determined by the way this, by the way the individual acts in terms of chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah. Okay, if the individual in terms of chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah is not involved, so then it means that his haskel v'yadoah is a shallow one. It's a superficial fact that he has. But as far as the soul is concerned, the soul has not been formed, has not been moved and changed. That's basically what the Rambam is saying. It's an interesting. That really is the whole crux of the whole sheet of Siyadas. Because the question is a very good one. The question was, where does Chesed fit in to Yahadas? Because other religions picked up different emotional things, emotional aspects, and they made religions out of them. And you say, yeah, the main thing is to be good. So you can make a religion of ethics, an ethical religion. But we say no. We say a person can be ethically good and still be Chayav Misa. A person who loves his child and puts his child through the Moloch in order to protect him is Chayav Misa. So you see that it's not kindness. Kindness is not really an essential thing in Yahadis. You can be kind and you can be evil. So in Yahadis is all Yiddias Hashem, knowledge of God. So the question is, if that's the case, where does kindness fit in? But the kindness that the kindness and the chesed that an individual on that level will perform, I just want to mention, is qualitatively differentiated from the kindness that an average human being, an ethical human being, will perform. Because the kindness of the ethical human being is always tied to some kind of personal motive. It has to be. There's no way out of it. Matter of fact, in the, you know, I mean, there's a lot of ethics is a whole big study. I mean, today, ethics is a whole big study. And one of the questions that's raised by the ethicists is, how could you have ethics to begin with? Because whenever you have ethics, so you want to be ethical, so you have an ulterior motive. It's like one of the questions they grapple with up and back. Of course, they try to answer, but there's no way to answer it logically. Because truth of the matter is, the kasha really is the death blow to the whole idea of ethics. Because there always has to be some kind of a motive. So if a person wants to be ethical, he's going to have to be trying to satisfy some kind of thing in himself. I want to look at myself as an ethical person. So again, you're interested in yourself. So you're not interested in the other person. There's basically, it's impossible. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems they grapple with. They try to answer it, and there are books and books written on attempts to answer. But when you finish it, you see that there's no way out, basically. It's logically impossible to get out of it. Logically, you can have a lot of words, a lot of flowery words, and a lot of terms, a lot of pages. Okay, but so basically, the bottom line is, it's logically impossible to get out of that problem. There's no altruism. Because whatever the person does is always going to be because he wants to do that. So he wants to be that kind of person. He wants to be a good person. Oh, you want to be a good person. So now you're happy to do the other fellow a favor. So now you can pat yourself on the back. You're a good person. So there's always, no matter, that itself is selfish. So the ethics itself eventually leads to self-contradiction. There's no way to justify. And that's really the mistake today in the world where they try to establish an ethics based on ethics alone. It can't be. Can't be such a thing. First of all, there's no reason to be ethical, logically. And secondly, if you're going to say there is a reason, once you get past that problem, then you have another problem. You're still doing it for yourself. So it's not ethics. So it's fraught with internal difficulty. The only solution that exists, really, is not by way of solution, but by way of the truth, I mean, is Yiddias Hashem. Because it means that when the soul is moved towards that reality of Yiddias Hashem, so then the soul becomes something different and functions in a different way. In a way in which it perceives that the ultimate reality of all realities is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the person falls in line with that reality. That's really the soul itself pursues that reality for only one reason. What is the reason? The reason is pursuit of the truth. That's the only reason. Because it's true. It means, and that's what the Ram says. Ram says in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says that how does the perfected person function? What's the function of the perfected person? So the Rambam says, what's the motivation of the perfected person? There's only one motivation, and that's what the Rambam says. He says. Oved me'ava osek b'torah over mitzvos v'olech b'nesivus ha'chachma lo m'pnei dover ba'olam v'lo m'pnei yiras hara v'lo k'dei lirash ha'tova, not because he wants the good, not because he's afraid of evil, ela osu ha'emes m'pnei shehu emes. Okay, that's it. That's the only motivation, because it's the truth. So it means that when the soul is moved, that's what the Navi is saying. That's what Yirmiyahu was saying. That's our ethical system. That haskel v'yadoa osi, that if the person has a desire to know the truth and ultimate reality, so he has to know God. And so far as he knows God and he understands his ways, that is reality. His love of reality, his love of truth, will force him to live and to act in a way where he's osa chesed mishpat estokabaretz. That's the true ethics. That's an ethics which is based on a true foundation, not a superficial foundation. Yeah.
So what's the chesed?
You mean the Rambam in the... That's correct. A lady's question. No. That's right. That there is, when the Rambam, that moral perfection which the Rambam says only has a value, he says, if there are other people, a social perfection, because that's the benefit of that. That really is only a vehicle and a means for the mind to be able to reach the Chochmas Hashem, Yedias Hashem. But with Yedias Hashem in the proper way, and that's why I said the Rambam insists on Yedias Hashem has to be grasped in a certain manner. That's what the Rambam says when I gave Yisodei HaTorah. So I mentioned the Rambam says Yedias Hashem has to be grasped through knowledge, through the avenue of knowledge. If it's the avenue of belief, it's no good. It's not the real Yedias Hashem. So it has to be grasped in a certain way. The Rambam, the emphasis in the Rambam and all his writings, basically one idea lies behind his whole approach. I mean, it's not his approach, the approach of Yadis, which is the approach of Ram Avinu, which is that Yedia, the way you grasp an idea, is the important thing. It's not simply, it cannot just summarize it in terms of content. So the perfection, the moral and ethical perfection, which precedes Yediyah, is one kind of a thing. It's like the Rambam says, if a person is hungry and thirsty, he can't give him an idea. He won't be able to understand an idea, let alone think of it himself. So the same thing is true in the psyche. If the psyche isn't balanced, so the midos aren't proper, so then the person can't think because he's disturbed. You can't. The person... It's much harder. It's easier to think when you're hungry and thirsty than to think when you're emotionally upset or disturbed. So the midos is to teach a person how to gain what the Rambam calls the even keel in life, so that the person is not drawn to extremes and not upset. You see, and is not drawn to emotional avenues, emotional expression. So he's even. Then he can reach the Yedias Hashem. But the nature of the Yedias Hashem has to include a change in the soul's attitude towards reality. Basically. In other words, the Yedias Hashem means a complete change in the attitude of the soul towards reality. And that results in mishpat and tzedakah, that the person doesn't feel like he's losing. Just let me explain the difference between tzedakah and mishpat. Okay, chesed is something different, but stuck on mishpat. Mishpat is justice. Okay, justice means if I lend you money, you owe me that money back, and you have to pay me back. That's justice. Justice is an idea which is not physical, but it's an idea which is intrinsic in man. Not physical thing. You can never really point out physically justice. Justice, how the human mind has an idea of justice, is itself the greatest mystery. I mean, where does that idea come from? Okay, but the yeah,
what?
Survival? No, survival wouldn't give you justice. No, the contrary.
Survival of the fittest.
So Gideon is just the opposite. Yeah. Survival of the fittest. So survival he is less just survives.
Survival of the group, though.
Of the group?
Group.
Not necessarily. The group, but then the group will really survive if they're unjust towards everybody else. That's Sdom. That was Sdom. Yeah, Sdom had that idea. Sdom's idea was that we have to be just to each other because we can't make it. But when the stranger comes in, we kill him because why not? See, that was it. They had a logical system of justice. Don't waste your justice.
See?
Now, so we hold that's implanted in the soul of man. Yahadus definitely also works.
It's
a part of Tzelem Elokim. There's no question about it. It's part of Tzelem Elokim.
What? You can't break it down any further.
You can't break it down any further. It's just like the idea of equality, which is an idea, which is a part of the soul. But this, the idea of justice, which is implanted in man, is further removed from the physical. Somebody doesn't like the fact.
Can we
turn
that
off? Okay. All right.
Danny, you put on mute.
Yeah.
Danny, put on mute, please. We hear the door.
No. It's a mistake. Because the idea of justice in the group. The group survives because they have an idea of justice. If they didn't have justice, there wouldn't be any need for the justice in the group. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because people have an idea of justice that in order to have the group survive, they have to abide by justice. But if you don't have an idea of justice to begin with, you wouldn't have an idea for the group. Do you understand what I'm saying? No. Work out a system. Work out any system. Where do you get the system of justice? You wouldn't get justice. In other words, the group survives with justice because the group has an idea of everybody wants justice. But if everybody in the group didn't want justice, you couldn't tell me the group survives by justice.
The stronger ones would say.
Yeah, this exactly. In other words, if you had a group, which the idea of saying that a group creates justice is nonsensical. It's not the group creates justice. It's you won't have a group if everybody wants justice and they're not getting it. But if there was no idea of justice to begin with, how does the group create justice? And let's say, for instance, my idea was he who is taller should get more. Okay? So there's no idea of justice. So then that would be fine for the group. The group is only going to disintegrate if you don't go by the ideas of the individuals. But the group doesn't give the individuals the ideas. This is exactly the opposite. Yeah. So the idea of justice is implanted, and according to Yahadis, the idea of justice is part of Tzelem Elokim. It's like the idea of equality, but it's even more abstract because the idea of equality, you can't find things that at least appear to be equal in the physical world. Okay? But justice is something which is a completely alien concept. So the idea of justice is something which stems from the soul of man, which is implanted in the soul of man. That's the, okay. So mishpat is justice. Mishpat is justice. Tzedakah, what is tzedakah? Tzedakah is something different. Tzedakah is like the Rambam says, you see a person that's suffering, so you do tzedakah. So the thing is, the person, you don't owe it to the person. Where it's mishpat, so you say, I borrowed $100 from the person, I owe him this. The person did me a favor, he says, justice, I should repay the favor. But by tzedakah, the individual who is in pain, it's not your fault. You have no shaykhah, so why do I have to help him? Mishpat doesn't demand that I help him. Tzedakah demands that I help him. Where is the idea of tzedakah? What's the idea of tzedakah? Where does that idea come from? I mean, where does the idea of tzedakah come from? Well, there's no claim, so why do I have to do it? Why do I have to engage in tzedakah? Okay? What it means is like this. It means that the individual who is in an unfortunate state, it means that based upon the nature of that individual, what he is suffering is unwarranted. That's what it means. In other words, like the individual was not created for that state. An individual, a human being that is in a state of suffering, so that obviously is not the state which is proper for his function. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, according to the way he's constructed, because of an unfortunate situation, he's not able to fulfill his potential. It interferes. Every person has a certain description. Every creature has a certain description. According to the nature of the description of the creature, the situation which he finds himself in it does not fulfill the requirements of his nature. Okay? So there, it's not me that is responsible for that, but nevertheless, that does exist. In terms of existence, that is exactly what's taking place. So that's there. That's what the pasuk means when we say that is midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not create a creature which and put it in a state where it cannot fulfill that which it was designed to fulfill, that's midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So man must emulate that insofar as he encounters that in his personal life. That's what it means, basically. It's an emulation of midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that is the good. The good is that the creature should be in a situation where it can fulfill its potential. And when you see someone that is not that way, then you have to correct the situation. That's emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that is a reality in terms of human existence. That's the source for the mitzvah. That's real tzedakah. That's not tzedakah where a person feels he is losing out. You understand? And it's not tzedakah where a person is doing it for an ulterior motive. He's doing it because this is the reality which God implanted, and therefore man, wherever the particular is awry, is obligated to engage in correcting it in particular. God does it generically. And man has to imitate God and do it in particular. That's basically what it is. That's tikkun olam. That's what it means, tikkun olam. That means a man is a shutuf to Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. That's exactly what it means. Chesed is something which the Rambam explains is above and beyond, which is completely unwarranted. Chesed is a little different. But tzedakah and mishpat, there is always an aberration of justice. In one case, it's between two individuals. In the other case, it's between an individual and nature. You see, an individual and nature. Those are the two cases. The question is, once you have mishpat and tzedakah, where does chesed come in? That's a good question. All right, so the question we left with last week was, what is chesed? What is chesed, right? That was the question. What is chesed? So the answer I believe is that by what the Rambam says, chesed is where it's completely where it's completely unwarranted. So that means like this. Really, it means like, in other words, it means where in by a human being, what chesed means is where the person. You see. Tzedakah is where there's a defect and you correct it. That's tzedakah. Like a person is in a defective state. He can't function. Okay, doesn't have what to eat. I mean, he's plagued with yisurim, with problems. So tzedakah demands that you step in and you rectify the situation. You place him in a situation where he can fulfill his potential. Chesed is one step above that. Chesed is where you create a situation where the individual has the ability to fulfill his potential, where it's unwarranted. You understand what I mean? In other words, like it could say, like let's say, for instance, a person's an Ani. So an Ani, Anius is a terrible thing. Not just, Chazal understood Anius, not so much the physical Anius that's so bad, but the mental Anius, the mental state. It starts affecting the person, not only that they don't have food, they don't have sustenance, but it starts affecting them mentally, and they start thinking crazy ways. It's maveras me'al daito. It means he loses equilibrium, doesn't think properly. And then it says maldas kono, which means even the person's metaphysics becomes awry. I mean, it affects his whole thinking process. So anias chazal was, chazal say oni choshev kemeis. It doesn't mean if a person was a tzadik gomor, I mean, it will make any difference whether he's an ani or nashir. But I mean, say in general, anias is something which affects an individual, a normal person, and affects them. I mean, it affects them in terms of their mental ability to function. That's why so money gives the person a certain independence. He doesn't have to be an usher, but as long as he's independent, psychologically he's sound. But if he loses that, he's a mutlalabrios. I mean, he's a person that can't sustain himself. So he loses his own mental equilibrium personally. His personal life becomes distorted. Personal problems. I mean, I know a lot of people have told me that people that were not able to make a living, they have financial difficulties, that they had that many divorces ensue from such situation. It's a common fact, and it's true. That's what I'll say. Why that's my veris is other male daita. Person can't make it financially, it affects everything. So it's a chazal was so makpid on insisting that a person earns a panasa, knows how to be self-supporting, because otherwise he mutlalabrios, I mean, all kinds of problems the individual has. So even worse, me aldas konam, even his thinking process in yahadis becomes distorted, can't think properly. So it goes against God's will. But that's tzedakah. Tzedakah means to correct the situation, which is a deviant situation. It's defective. So you're correcting the defective situation in tzedakah. But let's say everything is fine. Person's making a living, and he doesn't need tzedakah. Okay. But let's say, for instance, you want to go help the individual enhance his parnasa, because you know that if the person's parnasa is enhanced, they'll have more time to sit and learn, and you have the opportunity to do that. That's not tzedakah, that's chesed. That's chesed. So chesed means wherever you give an individual an opportunity to fulfill his potential, not in correcting a defect, but simply in creating the opportunity. You see? That's the difference in chesed and tzedakah. So chesed is a higher level. The Rambam quotes over here, I think that's what the Rambam means, when he says, it says very hard to figure out these Rambams a lot of times, but the Rambam says over here, on chesed, he says chesed, loving kindness is practiced in two ways. First, we show kindness to those who have no claim whatever upon us. Secondly, we are kind to those to whom it is due in a greater measure than is due to them. See, that would fit into what we're saying, basically. There's two kinds of chesed. Sometimes it begins with a need, but the individual goes beyond what is necessary. And sometimes it's simply creating a new entity. But the Rambam is getting to one point. It's like this. It says, for this reason, the term chesed is employed to express the good bestowed upon us by God. Okay? On this account, the very act of creation is an act of God's loving kindness. Amarti, that's the pasuk. I have said the universe is built up in loving kindness. Olam chesed yibana. Amarti, olam chesed yibana. So olam chesed yibana means, because what is the creation of the world? It means God created individuals who have a certain capacity and are capable of fulfilling their potential. Okay, so that's chesed. That's why it calls that chesed, because he created the situation. That's what Ram says, that the word chesed could mean where you go above and beyond, like in a, but it could also mean where you create the situation, you initiate the situation. And that's why it says, by God, that's what it means. It says, God is a chesed. Olam chesed yibana. Because it means no one had a, there was no defect before the creation that God had to correct. It was simply, he created a situation where individuals who have a potential can fulfill that potential. So that's chesed, you see. So that's the definition of chesed. Chesed means where you're not simply correcting a defective situation, but where you're giving an individual an opportunity to fulfill their potential, even though they're not struggling. There's no struggle. I mean, it's just normal. Everything is according to the normal law. Beyond, okay, yeah. So in that way also, a person imitates God. So according to the Rambam, that's the whole Rambam's ethical system is all based. Everything revolves around Yedias Hashem. The ethics, all everything, just revolves around one thing, Yedias Hashem. So insofar as a person, as an individual, has Yedias Hashem, so he will. That's Valachta Bedrachov. So it means that he will, if he understands. And the Rambam. So when the Rambam says that, he says he has to understand the ways of the Creator. He has to have that kind of a knowledge. And if he has that kind of a knowledge, then he will be drawn to those kind of activities. It's not just a simple thing. You see, Valachta Bedrachov, like a person just, you know, you say enough Musa, you're going to get it. I mean, that's not the way it works. The Rambam explains that that in order to arrive at that level, he says that, that's what he says. In a similar manner, we have shown that the object of the enumeration of God's 13 attributes is a lesson that we should acquire similar attributes and act accordingly. The object of the above passage is therefore to declare that the perfection in which man can truly glory is attained by him when he has acquired, as far as this is possible for man, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his providence, and of the manner in which it influences his creatures in their production and continued existence. Having acquired this knowledge, he will then be determined always to seek loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, and thus to imitate the ways of God. That's what Rambam says. But the Rambam's formula is, it's based upon a desire. It starts off with Avas Hashem, a desire to have a knowledge of God, and if the person attains a certain knowledge, and he sees the way God is nohag with his creatures, and he understands that, that becomes a reality to him, and he understands those ideas, he will be drawn to those ideas and will act in accordance with those ideas. That's what the Rambam says. That's the Rambam says. I mean, it's abstract, but that's the formula. That's the formula. In other words, without that kind of a knowledge, according to the Rambam, he really, I mean, you could act that way, but you're not acting that way on the real level. The real level is where the person has Yedias Hashem, and he understands how God acts, and he's drawn to that kind of an activity. Yes. The Rambam really has a formula of how you get to that level. It's in the regular Dover editions on page 387. He says, "I will now commence to show you the way how to educate and train yourselves in order to attain that great perfection." Okay? Now he says it like this. The first thing, it's interesting. I mean, the first thing you must do is this. He says, turn your thoughts away from everything while you read Shema or during the tefillah, and do not content yourself with being devout when you read the first verse of Shema or the first paragraph of the prayer. Okay? When you have successfully practiced this for many years, try in reading the law or listening to it to have all your heart and all your thought occupied with understanding what you read or hear. After some time, when you have mastered this, accustom yourself to have your mind free from all other thoughts when you read any portion of the other books of the prophets or when you say any blessing, and to have your attention directed exclusively to the perception and the understanding of what you utter. When you have succeeded in properly performing these acts of divine service, and you have your thought during their performance entirely abstracted from worldly affairs, take then care that your thought be not disturbed by thinking of your wants or of superfluous things. In short, think of worldly matters when you eat, drink, bathe, talk with your wife and little children, or when you converse with other people. These times, which are frequent and long, I think must suffice to you for reflecting on everything that is necessary as regards business, household, and health. But when you are engaged in the performance of religious duties, have your mind exclusively directed to what you are doing. Okay? Then he goes on and says, when you are alone by yourself, when you are awake on your couch, be careful to meditate in such precious moments on nothing but the intellectual worship of God, which is to approach him and to minister before him in the true manner which I have described to you, not in hollow emotions. This I consider as the highest perfection wise men can attain by the above training. And then he goes into a level that's higher, the level of the which Rama says is not the is the level of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Avos, which he does not think is practical. Okay, for a regular person to think that he's possible, but he says it's a very, very that's a different kind of a level. But this is the level where the Rambam himself says, after the Rambam says, he says, I do not think, he says, the object, he talks about the Avos Moshman, the object of all their labors was to publish the unity of God in the world and to induce people to love him. And it was on this account that they succeeded in reaching that high degree. For even those worldly affairs were for them a perfect worship of God. But a person like myself must not imagine that he is able to lead men up to this degree of perfection. It is only the next degree to it that can be attained by means of the above-mentioned training. Okay? And let us pray to God and beseech him that he clear and remove from our way everything that forms an obstruction and a partition between us and him. Although most of these obstacles are our own creation, as has several times been shown in this treatise. Okay, yeah. The Rambam also says, there's another important part of it, which explains how the Torah works and how the halachic system perfects man. Okay, and he shows that he says like this. I think this is also an important point. So yes. He says, for I have pointed out, if you're pointed out, it's on 392 in this edition. What I have here pointed out to you is the object of all our religious acts. For by carrying out all the details of the prescribed practices and repeating them continually, he means halacha, some few pious men may attain human perfection. Amazing statement. Saying that the whole Torah, that through the practice of the Torah, of Kol Tarkul, he says, some few pious men may attain human perfection. They will be filled with respect and reverence towards God, and bearing in mind who is with them, they will perform their duty. God declares in plain words that it is the object of all religious acts to produce in man fear of God and obedience to his word. The state of mind which we have demonstrated in this chapter for those who desire to know the truth as being our duty to seek. Compare, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Consider how clearly it is stated here, that the only object and aim of all the words of this law is to make man fear the glorious and fearful name. That this end is attained by certain acts, we learn likewise from the phrase employed in this verse, if thou wilt not observe to do, that thou mayest fear. So you see that it says, for this phrase clearly shows that the fear of God is inculcated into our hearts when we act in accordance with the positive and the negative precepts. But the truths which the law teaches us, the knowledge of God's existence and unity, create in us love of God, as we have shown repeatedly. Okay? So, the two objects, love and fear of God, are acquired by two different means. The love is the result of the truths taught in the law, including the true knowledge of the existence of God, whilst fear of God is produced by the practices described in the law. Note this explanation. Okay. Yeah. See, the Rambam says, 4, the Ram mentions before, it says, we do not sit, move, and occupy ourselves when we are alone and at home in the same manner as we do in the presence of a great king. Okay? And then he goes on to say that, then he goes on to say, the great men among our sages would not uncover their heads because they believed that God's glory was round them and over them. For the same reason they spoke little. Okay. So, yeah. So the Rambam explained, I mean, that's the source of Yarmulke, basically. That's the source of Yarmulke. But what is the Rambam saying in that chapter, basically? The Rambam is saying is, you see, what the Rambam is saying is, again, the first chapter. You have any questions on the first chapter? They're both complementary, really. That's what I mean, yeah. Everything else bothers is more. Something seems more difficult than in his formula. I mean, now let's go back to his formula. I think these both chapters in the realm are complementary. But let's go back to the formula now. And the formula he says like this. He says that it's like the only place I know where the Rambam actually comes out and tells you what the basically is shittas hamosar. I mean, this is what a person should do. Okay, so the first thing you must do is this. Turn your thoughts away from everything while you read Shema or during the tefillah. And do not content yourself with being devout when you read the first verse of Shema or the first paragraph of the prayer. Okay? When you have successfully practiced this for many years, try in reading the law or listening to it to have all your heart and all your thought occupied with understanding what you read or hear. After some time, when you have mastered this, accustom yourself to have your mind free from all other thoughts when you read any portion of other books of the prophets or when you say any blessing, and to have your attention directed exclusively to the perception and the understanding of what you utter. What's difficult about that? Excuse me? No, I mean, that's no problem, because he says to understand the law. That was the only thing. Yeah. What? Yeah. But the Ram sounds like he's saying is that the guy should be in Amaretz for, all he should do for a number of years is just Krishna and Tefillah. And he says, when you have successfully practiced this for many years, try in reading the law, listening to it, to have all your heart and all your thought occupied with understanding what you read or hear. What does it mean? A guy shouldn't learn a sugya of a Gemara? I got a person learning a sugya of a Gemara. I mean, isn't his whole mind and heart occupied in understanding what he's talking about? I mean, he should wait for a number of years. First, he should read Krishna and read Krishna and feel it for a number of years, and then he'll start to listen when they read the Torah, when he learns, he'll be fully occupies himself, fully preoccupied with the Torah. I mean, he's saying when he's learning Chumash. That's what I'm saying. Let me see. How come you know? In general, the English translation is not good because there's a flavor to it. You know what I mean? And the flavor is a Gaish flavor. You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't sound right. But the Let me read you Kapach's. Do you have Ibn Tibbon also? So I guess he says Voracious Mashat Tzarch Lahargil Asatz Mochal Baruch Tefane Machshavt Chol Mikol Dover Bismanchat Akar Krishna is foul. That's very good. He's talking like one. While to stop it beKavona beKriyashma bePasuk Rishon. I knew that's what he meant, but not the way he has. You're not going to figure it out. Okay. UBetfila beBracha Rishona, because he just says you shouldn't content yourself with the no, you have to know he's referring to halacha over here. He's saying, and he says, and when you have he says, and do not content yourself with being devout when you read the first verse. What do you mean being devout? It's not being devout. He means the kavana, because the yates of Krishna with the kavana for the first pasuk, and in tefillah yates if you mechavan to magen Avraham. I mean, that's what he's referring to. I mean, I'm just telling you, the translation is not good because he's trying to translate it. Friedlander is an English scholar, so he's trying to translate things for people who are from an English culture. The way to them, they wouldn't understand what Kavanah Pasuk Mishnah means. You have to be Baal Lach.
But he has the correct. I mean, I know that's what he meant from here, but it's not good. That's why translation is a bit. He says, "Val tistapek bekavana bekriyashma pasuk rishon and beskila berachashana." The kasher yitzlach biyochad dover v'yischazek the meshech shonim haneg atzmocha achre kain she kol man she karosa b'tora osho mata osho lo techdal b'chol yishvoscha v'uvachol machshavtecha milis raches b'havonas mashata shomeya okore. He means learning Torah b'chsav, because they learn Torah b'chsav, you have to. That's what he means, yeah. Not Chris Torah. V'chashe yale b'yodcho ze b'meshech zman targil asatzmocho she'tehe machshavtecha tomit shlema b'chol mashat akor mishor divrei nevim v'chil b'fil b'chol abrachos t'schavim ba lohovin mashat amavate u'zbonim b'inyal. Strange. I mean, it's hard to understand what he's getting at. V'chashe yisogu loch b'shlema savodos halalu v'tiyem machshavtecha b'hen but the question that I'm asking is, what is the Rambam saying? That for many years, just say Krishna and Tefillah. I mean, and before you learn a sugya, and we're learning a sugya, your mind is involved in the sugya completely. Right? Yeah. And until years go by,
don't work on
understanding what you're learning. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it sounds very funny. It's not a prescription to become a big lump, I'll tell you that one. And what you do for years, you're not going to learn. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Why, Rabbi Man's right. Your point is that it takes so long to mechav and Krishna. I said mechav and hold Krishna. No, so okay, fine. Mechav and hold Tefillah. It's not an impossible task. I mean, then you do that for years. What does he mean? Years to do that? I think what the Rambam is saying here. The Rambam is talking about a unique kind of a human phenomenon over here. So the Rambam is talking about is not simply that you should be mechavan and krishma. I mean, it doesn't take a person years to mechavan and krishma, and it doesn't take a person years to master that kind of a thing. I mean, people can do it. It's doable. Okay? And also, you can learn a sugya and concentrate exactly on the sugya for hours. It doesn't take the most perfected person to do that. The Rambam means over here, the Rambam is talking about purely lishma. You see? Because he says over here, what he's talking about is like this. He means, the Ram doesn't mean simply that you should train yourself, you shouldn't think about these things. What the Ram is talking about is a person engaged in doing these things for no other reason than because that is the true reality of human existence. See? That's what the Ram is talking about. Of course the Ram knows a person can be engaged in a Chachmas HaTorah. What does the Ram say? The Ram says, there are people who had the wrong idea of God and who were big Talmid HaChacham. The Ram himself has made on them that they knew how to learn very well. They knew how to be Osek and Machanta Shel Torah. The Ram knows that a person can be Osek and Machanta Shel Torah. Shalom l'shma. That's not the. But what the Rambam means over here he's not talking about the concentration on the subject matter. See, he's talking, when he says concentration, what he is talking about is the summoning of all the person's energies that all the energies involved in this activity is only because it's true and for no other reason. That's what the Ram says. The Ram says that's impossible to do unless a person has gone through a process of Kriyashman Tfila first, you see, where the Kriyashman Tfila is really on a completely pure level. Completely. Not because he wants to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, simply because he wants to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So the Rambam says, he says, don't be satisfied with the first pasuk and the first bracha. Because that's a person that's doing because he wants to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. That motivation to be Mekayim the Mitzvah is not the real motivation. The real motivation is Yedias Hashem, is God. And it means he does it only for the only reason he does it is because of the MS. Because that is human existence. See? That's what the Rambam's talking about. The Rambam, Rambam says that you cannot get to the level, the person cannot get to the level of summoning his energies into Chochmas Hashem completely for the right reason without certain knowledge and training. And that knowledge and training is contained in Kriya Shema and in Tefillah. That's what he maintains. That in Kriya, the ideas in Kriya Shema, when the ideas in Kriya Shema become something that are absolutely real to the individual, you see, and Tefillah, Omed Lifnei Hashem becomes a genuine reality of existence, he says, then when the person approaches the Torah, the Chochmas HaTorah, he's in a position where his desire to know God will be such that all the energies that he puts into this activity will be pure. You see? That's what the Rambam is talking about is, see, the Rambam knew one thing, that as much as a person desires perfection, there are certain things. See, as much as a person desires perfection, there's really one problem. You need to tell a person what perfection is. A person, obviously, everybody wants perfection because perfection means it's the best state. So who wouldn't want to be perfect? It's the best state, the happiest state of existence. Who wouldn't want it? I mean, everybody wants that. But the Rambam recognized that there's one problem. What's the problem? The problem is a psychological one. That people have, the psychological one, people have their energies invested in things that they can't remove their energies from. Okay? And because of that, you see, that's a complete obstruction. Because insofar, in other words, let's say, for instance, a person will, A person will want to sit in line. He'll want to sit in line. But he'll find that when he sits in line, these things are bothering him. He doesn't feel comfortable. He feels like he wants to be doing something else. I mean, it means that the energies are attached to other things. It's not that the person doesn't want to learn. That's something else. A person that doesn't know what perfection is, that's one thing. But then you have people that know what perfection is. And they'll admit to you that the kind of life they're leading with their energy involved really caused them more pain than pleasure, and the whole thing isn't worth it. Well, they'd love to be in something else. They would like it. But the problem is the channeling of the energies is very difficult because Kietzalev Adam Ramanurov, and a person when he does something very seldom, like the Ram says, does something because that is the real thing to do. You see, you do it for other reasons. You do it for real. What do Chazal say? Chazal say that halavaya, that the Yerushalayim should be as great as Yerush B'nai Adam. So a person does things for a lot of reasons. Does things because he thinks people will respect him. And even if a person does things privately, in the back of his mind, he could be thinking, well, if somebody would see me doing this, they'd think I'm a great person. So it's not, the energies that a person have invested in the areas of in the psychological areas is not easy. It's not an easy matter to just simply to remove them. And a person has a lot of energy invested in desires, in mundane desires, or in the desire for covet, or all the various different things where the energies are invested. That's the nature of man. So the question is, how does a person remove himself from that? That's what the Rambam is trying to do. How does a person remove those energies from those areas? So that's what the Rambam says. that the method to do it is a slow process where the person slowly channels his energies into reality. Kriya Shema and Tefillah. Through Kriya Shema and Tefillah, those are really the vehicles of perfection. Kriya Shema, the ideas, and where when he says Kriya Shema, it should be with a full knowledge and understanding. See, what the Rambam's saying in the other chapter, that's why I said they're both complementary, because the Rambam in the other chapter says that liyuras Hashem, that the whole purpose is to fear God. What do you mean? What does he mean by to fear God in that sense? What does Rambam mean that over there to fear God? He says the mitzvahs give you the fear of God, and the ideas give you the avas Hashem. What does Rambam mean over there? What he means is like this. He means the asiyas mitzvah. You see, the asiyas mitzvahs lishma. The asiyas mitzvah lishma is really based upon one thing. It's really based upon his knowledge of God's existence and God's omniscience. A person that those ideas are really a part of their life, you see. So the asiyas mitzvahs, the asiyas mitzvahs, the asiyas and the los asay, brings to, if it's done properly, it brings the individual towards the recognition of the reality of God's existence and God's omniscience, you see, and tzchav onish, and how God is knowing with his creatures. The reality of that idea becomes a part of the person. Okay, avas Hashem is where the soul is trying to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reaching forth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the vehicle of knowledge and chachma, and chachmas Hashem. That's a different component. But what the Rambam is saying is basically that in both chapters are based upon the idea that perfection is attained through Yediyas Hashem, which means that the person does things because of a certain reality. The reality of God's existence and the knowledge that he has of God. And that's why he says that to channel energies away from other motivations is a very difficult process. It takes a long time. But the method to do it is through Kriya Shema and Tefillah. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, and if a person is able to achieve that over a number of years, he says, then he can move into the area of pursuing Chachmas Hashem for the correct reason. That's what the Rambam says. It's an amazing, it's a very interesting Rambam. It is a formula for, it's a formula, he recognizes the difficulty, not easy to rechannel the energies, but he says there is a formula for it. And the formula is Krishna and Tefillah. It's an amazing element. Yeah, Ramana saying, of course, it's two different things. That's, maybe, what does Chazal say? Lo olam yasok adam b'tara afilosh v'tarmitz afilosh lo lishma. Ram's not saying that a person he shouldn't concentrate on a sugya until he perfects himself over a number of years with Krishna and Tefillah. That's crazy. What Rambam is saying is he's talking about a different problem. He's talking, yes, exactly. He's talking about the problem of channeling the energies away from everything else and into reality. And what's reality? God's existence, God's omniscience, God's judgment. That's the area of that area is the true reality. So the Rambam saying that the person, in order to channel his energies away from the mundane into that area, that is not an easy thing to do. That takes years. And the way to do it, he says, that's the formula he gives. The formula he gives is until the person reaches the level where whenever he says a bracha, it has a profound meaning for him. It means, what does it mean? It means that when he says a bracha, a person says a bracha, yeah, it's a bracha. But he says that's done for other reasons, to satisfy his superego, I mean, to make him feel good about himself. That's not true. But doesn't mean he shouldn't do it. But that's not real. That's not really bracha. Real bracha is, every bracha is a phenomenal statement. Phenomenal statement. Like the Rambam says in the Lahaskir Baritamit. And it's a person is in that reality, so a bracha has a different meaning, a different kind of a meaning. And Rambam says when a person reaches the level that the bracha has a true meaning, it conveys to the individual it conveys to the individual a certain reality, which is a profound and awesome reality, that's a different kind of a level. He says, and once a person reaches that level, he says, then in his pursuit of Torah and his pursuit of Chachma will be on a different kind, have a different kind of a quality, different kind of a quality to the pursuit of Chachma. And in that way, in that kind of pursuit, he can achieve a different level, different dimension of Chachmas Hashem, Chachmas Torah. And it's a different kind of a level of existence. That's basically what the Rambam said. That's what he means. What? Yeah, the Rambam saying the person that is perfected will do chesed. And this part of the process. You know what the Rambam? That's why I mentioned they're both complementary, because this part of the process. In other words, through this process, he'll arrive at a tree of Diyas Hashem. And certain ideas about certain knowledge will become available to him. Now God is knowing in Briyosov, and I mean it's a part of the knowledge of Hodieninos Drachecha. I mean part of that knowledge. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was seeking, Hodieninos Drachecha. So part of that knowledge of Hodieninos Drachecha will become available to him, and through that, he will be able to be involved in imitation of God, like it mentions Ma'afata, the Ma'afata. You see, but that's what the Ram. That's what I'm saying. The two, the complementary, but the method of arriving at it is an interesting idea. What the Ram is saying, the method of arriving at it is a slow process, which requires what the Rambam is saying essentially. Is it requires a certain, what does he mean by concentration? He means a certain sense of reality in your ideas. You understand what I'm saying? A certain sense of reality must be attained in the ideas. That's what he's saying. That's the concentration. He doesn't mean concentration to concentrate. He means that the ideas are bring the person into a certain sense of reality. It's not like breaking a meter. Breaking a meter is an emotional thing. In other words, the person is used to overindulging. So if he goes into a process where he doesn't allow himself to eat properly, he takes less. So then he'll be very happy with the returning to the means. That's a different kind of a thing. Over here he's talking about, over there the energies are still involved in the same thing, but it's he's trying to get himself into an even keel. But over here he's trying to do a qualitatively different thing. He's trying to take the emotions, the energy, the psychological energy that are by nature attached to all these other things, and to rechannel them towards reality. That's a different process. That's what Ram said. It takes years through Krishna and Tfilah. It takes many years until you can be on the level where in the pursuit of Chochmas Hashem, all his energies are channeled, because that's the only thing that's important to him. You see, it's a different kind of a Torah. I would say what the Rambam is saying is, what the Rambam is speaking about is a unique kind of thing, which as the Rambam says that there's no question about it. The Rambam, the way the yeshivas do it today, that's the proper way for everybody. I mean, that's the correct way. A person has to learn, be involved in learning. And you can't say Krishna and Tfilah for many years and then start. That's not what the Rambam means. If I had to write the Rambam myself, what I would say is, what the Rambam is saying is, I have to just rephrase the Rambam. You see? What I would say, the Rambam is saying the following. Let me put it this way, and then maybe it would be clearer. Okay? What the Rambam is saying is, that in the root that a person takes, R-U-T-E, the root that a person takes towards reaching perfection
There are stages. The first stage is where Kriyat Shema and Tefillah take on a totally different significance and a different dimension. In the state of perfection, that's the first thing. He doesn't mean an Amar. He does not mean an Amar. Take an Amar. It's God doesn't know anything. And start him off from Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, and he'll never get there. He has to be a Talmid Chacham. But he's a Talmid Chacham, and he sits and learns all the time. He's involved in Torah as much as he can. That's true. But now he's talking about a different kind of an experience, where he's isolating that experience. And what he's saying, let me put it this way, what he's saying is that in the attainment of perfection, if the let me put it this way, not in an instructive way, but let's look at it from after it's accomplished. What he's saying is that in attaining perfection, a person that will have traveled the course of perfection will first notice a difference in his Kriyat Shema and his Tefillah. It'll take on a different kind of a meaning to him. And then his Chachmas HaTorah will take on a different meaning also. That's what he means. It's a different kind of a route the Rambam is talking about. You understand what I'm saying? He's not talking about the average person that's involved, that's learning in a yeshiva, and is attempting to attain a degree of perfection. No question about it that the person that sits and learns, in a regular way, does attain a certain degree of perfection. But he's talking about the ultimate perfection of man. In other words, this is not a small thing he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? And what he's saying is, in that route, the way it works is the first is along the road, the person will have a different perception of Kriyat Shema Tefillah. That's the first thing. That over a number of years, you see, it'll take a number of years, it will go through deeper levels of understanding of Yediyah and reality, what it means in reality, attaining what that exactly means, in terms of how his emotional life is affected by that. Then through that, the emotions, that process is one which will engage the emotions in a certain kind of reality and free the energy from its attachment to mundane things. Then, once that energy is freed, then he will be able to perceive a different kind of a depth and different kind of understanding in Chachmas HaTorah. Okay? It's a different quality of learning that he's talking about. You understand? He's not talking about the act of learning. The act of learning, anybody can sit and learn and concentrate. You don't have to, it doesn't take years and years. A child can do it. If you get a child engaged in something that interests his mind, of course he concentrates on that thing. And what's not interesting about a piece of Gemara? So a piece of Gemara will always engage a person's mind exclusively. So unless the person just doesn't have any aptitude for that. I'm talking about a normal person, you know, sees the problems that are engaging, and the person will think about the learning, of course. That's not what he's talking about. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now that's the answer to your question. The question is, what is special about Kriyat Shema and Tefillah? What he's saying is that the ideas of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, when they become real to the individual, this is what frees the energy from the other from its attachment to the other things. Those ideas are what affect it. Okay, it's not like practice. As a matter of fact, I would say that it's different. Then I would say that it's different than practice in terms of midas. Because practice in terms of midas is the practice that changes it. But over here, it's not the practice that changes it. It's the realization that takes place through the process that actually frees the energies. You understand? It's a different phenomenon altogether. Different phenomenon altogether. The practice over here is an accident. It's a different kind of an idea. It means the ideas of the Kriyat Shema. It's not because the person is practicing Kriyat Shema Tefillah that over a number of years that he's going to get better at it. That's good for a midah. That's good if you want to prevent yourself, you want to perfect yourself in terms of you're overindulging or you're underindulging in something. You want to perfect yourself, so then you go to the other extreme, one extreme to the other. That's a different kind of a practice. That's where the practice itself is effective. But over here, he's not talking about that. He's talking about a certain process where the energies are freed, and that's through a certain reality that the person attains through Kriya Shema through Tefillah. That's what the Rambam's talking about. It's a different kind of a thing. And he says, and then after a number, after many years, when the energies are freed because these ideas become real to the individual, then his Chochmas HaTorah will be on a totally different level. Different level. That's what the Rambam is saying. He's not talking about, because how hard is it to remove your energies and say Krishna Tefillah? How much time does it take in a day? Doesn't take that much time. So you can have an Ithamagra, you can have the whole Tishman Esrei. So what? What's so hard about that? I mean, that the person is going to try to attain perfection. So what? He has the rest of the day, the whole day, can do whatever he wants. I mean, it's not the Ram doesn't mean, the Ram does not mean practice in that sense, because it's not really practice. What is it? A few minutes a day? You understand? What the Rambam means is that the ideas over here, it's the opposite actually of practice. Like I said, in practice, it's the training which is effective. Over here, the fact that he's repeating it means every time there's a different reality, a different level of reality is reached, and the reality is what frees the energies. That's what the Rambam's talking about. And there must be a freeing of the energies, and that's why it can't be done through learning first. You understand? Because in order to have the right quality of learning, you have to have the free energies. And the energies can only be free through the ideas. You see? You understand what I'm saying? So that's why it must be first Krishna and Tefillah and then learning. Can't be, it's not a training. It's totally different than the idea of a training. The Rambam saying, it's interesting. The Rambam holds you can't free the energies for that kind of learning. For that kind of learning, you can't free the energies just through learning. It's an interesting thing. It's not going to work. It says learning can free the energies from the physical taivas in a quantitative sense, but not in a qualitative sense. In a qualitative sense, you have to actually affect the attachments, and that's only possible through a certain reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what the Rambam is saying. It's a very profound idea. It's not a simple idea. It's a different kind of a thing. Yeah, Krishna, because Krishna is the ideas, the realization of the ideas, and Tefillah is the individual relating to God. You need both of those experiences.